Mainstream Mental Health Radio
with Dr. John Huber.
What do you think you are, crazy or something? Well, you're not.
We're on a mission from God.
News, issues revolving around mental health.
Dr. John Huber, a mental health professional for over 20 years, the chairman for Mainstream Mental Health, a clinical forensic psychologist, and a psychology professor at Texas State University. Breaking the silence of mental health, one day at a time. Discussing the human condition. Providing a sounding board for mental health issues. And making mental health mainstream.
You got a gift, my friend.
Now it's time for Mainstream Mental Health Radio.
Let the healing begin.
With Dr. John Huber. To Mainstream Mental Health Radio with your host, Dr. John Huber. Check us out on social media. Google Plus, Mainstream Mental Health. Instagram, at Mainstream Mental Health. Twitter, at Mainstream MENTL. And search for Mainstream Mental Health on Facebook. Please tune in every week to Mainstream Mental Health Radio with your host, Dr. John Huber.
Good afternoon. You're listening to Mainstream Mental Health Radio Show. I'm your host, Dr. John Huber. I'd like to remind you to follow our radio show on Mental Health News Radio Network and follow us at mainstreammentalhealth.org or drpsycho.org, D-R-P-S-Y-C-H-O. Today we're going to talk about love. I know it's Halloween and it's scary for some people to think about love, but the reality of it is, we have to ask, can love really change our brain? So today I thought we would bring in a relationship expert. In fact, Dr. Deion, I screwed that whole thing up. I started to say Deion Sanders. Let's start over, Ryan. I'm sorry.
Well, my nickname used to be Neon Deion, so that's fine.
Well, but I need people to know so they can go find your stuff afterwards and everything. All right, so we can edit it right there. So Dr. Deion Metzger, she is the author of The Modern Trophy Wife. She is a psychiatrist, a couples therapist, and probably for this discussion, most importantly, a relationship expert. And I'd like to invite her to talk to us today about love and what goes on with our brains when that happens. So without any kind of donating blood is not a good thing for me. So without any kind of wait, I would like to bring on Dr. Deion Metzger. Dr. Metzger, thank you for coming on our show.
Oh, thank you for having me. It's such a pleasure.
Well, that is a big question for a lot of my listeners, is that whole thing that goes on with love. Is it a chemical thing? Is it truly just purely emotional? Is it biology where we're just drawn to somebody? What's going on when we see that person that just throws us into love?
It's actually very much a chemical response. What happens is when you're in love, the brain floods with all these chemicals and hormones that produce, you know, the feelings of attachment and also the euphoria you can experience, especially in those first stages of love, and just an overall feeling of pleasure.
So are we talking about like oxytocin? Are we talking about norepinephrine? What's going on?
So we're talking about all of those. So with oxytocin, you see the spike in that, and that's what forms like the attachment, the social bonding. You even see, you know, spikes of oxytocin after a mother has a child and when she's bonding with her baby. But it's the same way that it works. It attaches to another human being. So that's one of the first things that we see in terms of when somebody's like, oh, I just want to be with them all the time. You know, when do I get to see them again? That's the oxytocin playing a role.
And then so it's not just to loosen up all the joints and tendons for childbirth and then to make the mom attracted to the infant. It's actually there to make that chemical bond with the partner.
Exactly. And then you also have, you mentioned norepinephrine. That's another big one. That's kind of what we call the butterflies, when the heart rate jumps and the palm sweats and you get so excited, you know, in those first few days. Sometimes it tends to go down a little bit as you get used to somebody, but that's kind of the excitement of being together and experiencing – you know, some people call it the lover's high, some people call it having the butterflies, but it's really that kind of stimulation of the nervous system that you see in those, you know, the first dates or even just in really fun events and spending time together where you literally get a physical reaction to being around that person.
So it's not just the old shotgun, you know, in-laws standing up on the porch when you get home. There's actually a real reason for that in neuroepinephrine.
Exactly, exactly. That can make the norepinephrine spike up even more in case you go into full fight or flight. That would be a whole different story. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, no, you know, even with before the in-laws are on the porch, you can definitely get that where you see the norepinephrine just kind of affect the whole body. And some people even get nauseous. I mean, it's so interesting how people respond to love, but it's really kind of the nervous system just going into overdrive with all the feelings.
Well, you know, and I get asked all the time, why do I recommend people go to scary movies with their significant other? And one of the reasons is it kind of stimulates those endorphins and those fight or flight norepinephrine chemical reactions and actually helps them bond together. Even though it's not a real trauma, it's not somebody sitting on the porch with a shotgun, it is a safe way to stimulate that survival trauma association with all of that. So,
and you're guaranteed to get close.
Yes.
And I'm a person who loves horror movies, so I used to take my husband, and I still do to this day, especially during this season. But, yeah, so I'm all about it. But, yeah, you get close, and you're exactly right. You know, just kind of the kind of scare brings up some of that emotion. So, yeah, all about the horror movies, if they can take it, and they won't be mad at you at the end of it for bringing them.
Exactly.
Then I'm all for it, yeah.
You can always have them look away. I'll protect you.
Oh, yeah. See, once again, physical touch, getting closer. I'm all about it.
Exactly.
And then the other one is one thing I forgot, the dopamine, which is a major one, the pleasure center. You know, that's kind of the euphoria that you experience that gets released during, you know, when people are in love. It's just that high of just being together. And you know, dopamine is something that you can see released in other different areas. A lot you hear it referred to with drugs, where people get kind of this addicted to that high. But when people say love is a drug, it's because it releases dopamine. That's where that came from.
Exactly.
Just that. Go ahead.
Well, I mean, I'm just agreeing with you exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And look at social media. Unfortunately, we get a little bitty drip from that every time that somebody clicks on a like, and that actually can keep you away from the real people that you care about. So
absolutely. And it's almost like classical conditioning when it's like, oh, that got a like. I'm going
to
post something like that again. Yeah. People
exactly.
like that.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Hey, these guys who did this were genius, and they continue to focus in on that. And it takes away from our significant others, unfortunately. But mm-hmm. we go through this whole thing of falling in love and – you know, how else does it change us? What's going on when we find that significant other?
You know, other things that it does, and just in terms of emotionally, it heightens our sensitivity when people become in love, because what happens is you open the door of vulnerability where people are sharing more with the other person, and by sharing more, they're exposing themselves. And I've noticed that people who have been in love, they know exactly what that feeling is like when you just have such a connection with a person and you've let your complete guard down. And that's part of the attraction. Another thing that you notice is that, unfortunately, if people have been in love and they've gotten their heart broken, that guard can go back up because they know what it was like to be so vulnerable with another person. And if they've gotten hurt before, you know, it's just kind of the case of if you touch something and you get burned, you're less likely to touch it again. I mentioned classical conditioning, but this is another great example that if you've been in love before and you got hurt, you're going to be hesitant to step back into that realm again of having that intense connection with somebody. But, you know, what I always tell people is I'm a hopeless romantic, and you're probably going to realize that by the end of this, but you know, I always believe in love, always, and I just think it's a matter of finding the right person. But it's just really interesting to see how the brain responds in addition to the dopamine and norepinephrine being released. Really, even just blood flow increases in the brain's pleasure center, and that's actually like seen on MRI. So it's something that really affects the whole brain, that it's not just, oh, we're being silly, oh, you know, the people like to say the silly schoolgirls in love. No, it's a real thing biologically that happens to men and women. So I'm always on the pro side for going for love, always.
Well, what do you have suggestions for, you know, that quote-unquote seven-year itch? I actually tend to find it more once the kids have graduated high school and they've moved out, the husband and wife have to get to know each other because they've known them for sometimes more than 20 years as mom and dad.
We see that all the time.
What kind of recommendations do you have for our listeners in that kind of situation?
You know, I just tell them because they're yearning to be back to where they were when they first started, before they had children. I said, instead of trying to go back to that stage of dating, because you're not the same age, you might not necessarily have the same interests that you had when you were in your 20s and met. I said, you know, get to know each other again, because when you have kids in the house, it's very easy for the focus to go completely on that. And that's something I talk about in my book, The Modern Trophy Wife, which is just like we need to learn to make time for dating our spouse. And especially after the children leave the house, you really want to start focusing on getting to know them again, because you're no longer in that routine, which is so consuming, of taking care of the kids, picking them up. You know, now you're back to focusing on each other. And some spouses will come to me and say, you know, I'm really bored because I've been so used to this life for like 15 to 18 years, and now I don't know what to do. And I said, this is an amazing time. Most of them are at the level of financial stability they want to be at. Pursue something. Pursue a hobby together. Travel. This is an amazing time to be at in your life. And rather than mourning the loss of no longer having kids, look at it as a rebirth of your marriage and focusing on each other.
Well, and I see a lot of communication skills that are lost because they don't pay the type of attention they paid to each other when they were first dating.
Mm-hmm.
So what I tend to do is give them homework assignments to try and stimulate that. For example, one of them is they have to go on a date, but they have to handcuff themselves to each other and leave the keys at the house.
Oh, my gosh,
so now,
that's great.
Now they have to start communicating. They have to get in one side of the car and go across. They have to help each other put the car in the drive. Eating becomes almost comical. I mean, because you have to take turns, you know, taking a bite and cutting your chicken or steak or whatever you're eating. And all of a sudden they're communicating in a very teenage-esque kind of manner because it's kind of ridiculous, the whole situation.
I might try that with my husband.
I got some more we can talk about off the air, but I don't know if I want to, you know, the faint of heart people here. We got to. But
that sounds great.
I find that it really helps a lot of my patients to give those types of
assignments.
And
it's a great assignment.
It is, and you know, you have to plan. You know, you need to go to a place, you know, like a mall that has family restrooms and stuff like that. So you know, you don't freak out. You know, somebody in the waiting or in the restroom when you have to go if you're handcuffed to somebody.
Yeah.
And I had a couple 2 weeks ago who was given that assignment, and it was hilarious. The next day I got all these emails from them about all these people that they met in the BDSM lifestyle, because everywhere they went they were so surprised that they thought they were in the BDSM lifestyle. And
I could see how that be perceived that way.
And they were like, oh, my gosh, I can't believe there's that many people out there.
You'd be surprised.
Oh, exactly.
Quite popular.
It is very popular. And it's a way to spice things up in a safe way. You have rules and, you know, and that can also help that communication. Well, what other things do you think we can do to help our listeners if they're struggling with this type of issue at this point?
Never hesitate to talk to someone. You know, something that's really big, and a lot of things that I've noticed in the couples that I see, that if you feel that communication is an issue outside of making an effort to pursue new things together, whether it's hobbies or just making a weekly date night, if you feel like that's still not enough, even if it's just for an evaluation, just to talk to a therapist, it doesn't hurt. I think it'd be worthwhile, and sometimes just having that kind of mediator between the two of you, or just having somebody kind of non-biased just to listen, can be make a big difference in terms of the way you two communicate with each other, and it can help you to give tools that you can use for the rest of your marriage.
And to help remind each other why they originally fell in love with each other in the first
place.
I think that's something that we tend to forget, and you know we have to work at it. It's they talk about, oh, I'm married, I don't have to work at this anymore. Well, no, marriage license is a contract, just like a business contract, and you have to continue to nurture that if you want that contract to remain.
Mm-hmm.
So
absolutely,
exactly. So just like kids are an investment, they're a lot of work, and it's amazing work. It can be frustrating, but so can this contract we have with our partners, and it can be very rewarding.
And then when I have patients in my practice, the couples, just the fact that the spouse came, like it was one person who initiated making the appointment, just the fact that the spouse came already improves the relationship because it shows that they're making an effort. Sometimes we see improvement in the communication and just the nature of the relationship after one appointment because it shows that you're making the effort on the other end to try to make this work, and it's really well appreciated.
It is, and it shows that person that you're worth it, and that's a lot of times because we're so used to having that person around for a couple of decades, we kind of know their likes and dislikes and what they want to eat and what their habits are, and we tend to forget about that communication part and in a sense ignore them. So this is a way to say, no, you are still important to me.
Exactly.
Well, tell me a little bit more about your book and why did you decide to write? I mean, that's
sure.
a seductive title, you know.
Yes, and a lot of people ask me, you know, the title alone brings a lot of attention. Me and my colleague, who's also my very dear friend, Dr. Ayo Gathing, we just noticed that as professional women, it was sometimes hard for us to find the balance. And she's also a psychiatrist. She's a child psychiatrist. And we came up with just a way to speak to professional women who are trying to balance marriage, career, and everything, that you can really have it all as long as you kind of balance your self-care, you balance how you boundaries within your relationship. So we wanted to make a go-to guide, really just talking to women about our experience and also what we've noticed that has worked within our personal lives as well as within our practices and with our patients about balance. And even though it's called the Modern Trophy Wife, which is really kind of play on the previously, you know, trophy wife was just based on looks, but the modern trophy wife has looks and career and everything else going on. We just wanted to kind of give a guide that, you know, it's possible to have the things that you want both, you know, in the workplace and at home and be able to balance it all. And I always tell people, don't let the title make you think that this is only for married women. We also speak to women who are dating because really the central message is balance. And that once you have the balance, then we see mental wellness.
Awesome. So what is the exact title of the book and where can they find it?
The exact title is actually The Modern Trophy Wife, How to Achieve Your Life Goals While Thriving at Home. But if you just look up The Modern Trophy Wife, that's fine. And it's on Amazon, BarnesandNoble.com. It's also on iBooks. And, yeah, it's on all three of those. And you just look up The Modern Trophy Wife and you'll see it pop right up.
Awesome. So you were trying to balance your own life, and so you learned some techniques from your training and from your life experience. You put this book together, and what if one of my listeners wants to try and get a hold of you and ask you some questions or maybe invite you to come and be a speaker somewhere?
Oh, you can go right to my website, and there's actually an email address. You can just kind of click in and email me directly at dionmetzgermd.com, dionmetzgermd.com. And, and it comes directly to me, and I'll be happy to talk with anybody who's interested in either having me come speak or if interested to just come see me as a patient.
Awesome. And where are you located?
I am in Atlanta, Georgia.
Awesome. I got lots of listeners out there. So any last words you want to give to my listeners who may be wrapping this up and getting ready to go back to work or get back home and take care of their significant other?
Well, you know, my hopeless romantic has to say, don't fight love. Keep it going. Don't fight it.
Lots of them. I love it, Dr. Dion. Well, thank you for coming on our show. This is always a fun topic. And especially this time of year, people don't realize that Halloween can be a stimulus for something more romantic than just wearing a scarecrow costume.
Go see a scary movie.
go see a scary movie, and remember to follow us at Mainstream Mental Health Radio and our website at mainstreammentalhealth.org. And last but not least, don't forget, life is what happens while you're making plans, so buckle up.
Thanks for listening to Mainstream Mental Health Radio with your host, Dr. John Huber. Check us out on social media, Google+, Mainstream Mental Health, Instagram at Mainstream Mental Health, Twitter at Mainstream MENTL, and search for Mainstream Mental Health on Facebook. Please tune in every week to Mainstream Mental Health Radio with your host, Dr. John Huber.